folks, and welcome back to NTI's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima McGinn, and this podcast is brought to you, among others, by Native Shark, which is an online platform for learning Japanese. And what Native Shark do is they make learning Japanese really, really simple. You log in, you click a button that says study now, and the platform then shows you exactly what you need to learn next based on your previous progress. Now, again, this is simple, but the way it's designed means that students who use Native Shark once a day for 4 to 5 months can complete the equivalent of over 2 years of university study. And this is not just them patting themselves on the back. Now that Native Shark's been in business for over a year, the results are in. So this is exactly what people are saying. Just looking at a couple of posts in their community forums, and the student community, by the way, is one of the best things about the platform. So one person's writing, most productive year I've had learning Japanese. And then another one says, I've started learning over a year ago with all of these other platforms, and what I learned there is only a fraction of what I've learned on Native Shark in just 3 months. And then yet another one goes, in my mind, my study timeline only started with Native Shark because that's when I really started learning consistently, and on and on. So yet the proof's in the pudding. It's definitely the best online course out there. And since you've heard about it here on the podcast, you also get an extra little bonus. If you sign up for their free trial using the URL nativeshark.com/NTI, and we'll link to it in this episode's show notes. So that's native without an E. So N-A-T-I-V shark, all one word, .com/NTI. You use that link to sign up and you'll get a double length free trial. So 2 weeks free instead of just the one. No need to put in your credit card or anything of that sort. You can just sign up, give it a shot. And chances are at the end of these 2 weeks, you'll already be far ahead of wherever you are with your Japanese at the moment, whether you're just starting out or you're already in knee deep. Give it a shot. nativeshark.com/NTI. All right. So for those among you who are getting sick and tired of hearing me drone on and on about last week's business networking and games event here in Fukuoka, you're in luck. The event is now behind us. And I won't bore you with the details, except to say that it was absolutely fantastic. Loads of fun, awesome people. I personally knew only about half of the attendees, so it was great to meet so many new people, talk business, eat phenomenal food, play some kick-ass games. Our photographer and videographer, Mitch, is soon going to be releasing his far more professional video and footage of the event than anything that I've got. So I'll share that with all of you once that's up, including the presentations from the speakers. And most importantly, the next event, which is going to be held in Tokyo, will most likely take place in March 2022. So watch this space for more info. Okay, so for today's episode, this is another conversation with the lovely Haley Agra that you might have seen or heard here on the show a couple of times already. We've had her once to talk about general real estate matters, specifically related to US military-based personnel rentals. And once more about personal finance and investing or saving for retirement with Ben Sheeran or Ben Tanaka from Retired Japan. So she's back on the show today, and we're going to be chatting about those two topics again, but also talking about her a bit more, the line of work that she's in, which is social media content marketing, and specifically TikTok, which is a platform that's exploding now, particularly among younger people, just in case you've been living under a rock for the last few years. We also talk foreign exchange and how to profit on exchange rate fluctuations, the pros and cons of being a property agent or a rental company or agency in Japan, how to set up a business for property related transactions, and much, much more. So great, casual, friendly chat. Hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you again on the other side. Okay, so you do social media marketing for people and companies, right?
Yes.
For and people. Also you're in financial education?
Yes. So currently I first started researching Japanese accounts to help my boyfriend start investing. I invest on the American side, but Japanese wise, I've been selling a guide to help them get more inclined to invest in the retirement account, which is called the NISA, the Nippon Individual Savings Account.
It's an account like a pension fund or?
Kind of. It's It's an account where you buy mutual funds, index funds, ETFs, or regular individual stocks. I heard that in Japan, for the stock market, you have to buy them at 100 a piece,
okay,
which is kind of crazy. But this account allows you to defer taxes, which is up to 21%.
Right.
So the NISA accounts you can have for either 5 years or 20 years. And the difference between the two accounts is there is a difference between the two yearly allowances. And I just talk about that on TikTok, and I help sell a course created by Ben Tanaka, which
If
you look up,
retirejapan.com.
Yeah, so awesome. I just resell his course, and yeah, my boyfriend still hasn't invested, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Like, we've been in it for 10 years, and nobody from my family has invested in property in Japan just yet. Everybody else in the world does, except them.
Everyone else in Japan, yeah, they understand what we're talking about. They're interested in it. But the people closest to us, like, they need to hear it from someone else, I guess.
Yeah. Or they're just not that way inclined, right? Like, I guess they're not. Yeah. Because we always have our, you know, ultimate client profile in mind. And sometimes our family just don't suit that.
Yeah. Like, my boyfriend's interested in real estate. And he's like, hey, I'll give you $10,000 if you invest in a property here. And I'm like, but you won't invest for your retirement right now?
That's long-term is a bit harder to see for a lot of people, I think.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't realize it until I was in debt. But
yeah.
Do you have any retirement accounts or like college funds ready for your kids?
Not actual funds, no. We put money aside, like we save by ourselves kind of thing.
Right.
So a certain percentage of what we make from real estate investment just goes they go into normal, not even cash term deposit accounts, just normal accounts, because we found that we make a lot of money just by holding currencies in different countries and different currencies.
Yeah.
So, for example, last week, the Aussie dollar took a dive, or the US dollar took a dive. Then we transfer funds back to Japan and vice versa.
Yeah.
And that little difference in exchange rates every time this happens actually amounts to a lot more than whatever interest you'd be getting in any sort of saving account.
So yeah. How do you transfer? Do you use like TransferWise or a different kind, just like bank?
We're not bank. We're with OFX, which are pretty similar to TransferWise. Yeah. We've been with them since we started. So again, for about a decade now.
Very nice.
Yeah. And I mean, even just having two currencies, right? Like Australian dollar and Japanese yen. And if you add a little bit of euro, a little bit of US dollars, and just keep liquid cash in each currency.
Yeah.
And those little peaks, like, you know, 2 yen down this way or 2 yen down that way for $10,000, that's like $200, $300 every time you transfer, right?
Yeah, you just change it. I never thought of that. Like, I always have, I have some USD now, but I always had like access to my USD without anything. I can access all my US accounts, but then I can also get Japanese yen directly from my ATMs. So that'd be interesting to like check out the trends of the currency and how much it's worth.
Yeah, just go to exi.com or one of those websites and just look at where it's been in the last like 1 year or 5 years or 10 years.
Yeah.
And then it's pretty easy to identify peaks. And then you say, okay, well, alert me whenever it hits that level again, or alert me whenever it hits that level again.
What was the website called again?
The most common one is xe.com.
Xe.com. Nice. It's like a currency. And it allows you to send you alerts?
They can send you alerts, or if you actually sign up for an account with OFX, I'm pretty sure Wise do that too, then in your account you can set alerts for various currencies. So tell me when, like, for example, if you see that the last time the US dollar, for example, was at 112 or 113, well, now I think it's 114 something. Last time that happened was like December 2018, right?
Yeah.
So you put in an alert. So, okay, whenever it hits that level again, just let me know. And then as soon as that happens, you just transfer your US dollars into Japanese yen, because now they're buying a lot more yen for that money.
Gotcha.
and vice versa.
Okay.
So have you been going with your research on the base investments?
So I got a little bit and I have some documents, but I didn't get any anything about electrical code. So I was kind of searching a little bit more on that. I got some good information on bars, and it sounded like it was mostly geared towards Okinawa.
Okay. Well, yeah. I can tell you one of our investors who was looking into that has recently sent me, let me see if I can find that, some requirements from, I think it was Yokosuka, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Give me a second. Where was he? All right, I think he was also on the podcast, or maybe I haven't published that one yet. Okay, so housing suitability standards, affordability, location, general conditions, fire protection, garbage, so these parking, stairs, appliances, that's kind of electric. All units must have sole use of landlord installed stovetop, refrigerator, washer and dryer, or space plumbing and outlets with sufficient capacity to accommodate U.S. government furnished refrigerator, oven range, washer and dryer. If washers and dryers are not contained within the living units, they must be enclosed. And then on heating and air conditioning, it says working AC and heating in every room, which is something that you need to look out for, because sometimes you'll have to install one of those on your own. Or space and outlets with sufficient capacity to accommodate AC for allowing tenants to install them by themselves. Heating systems will be properly vented. Kerosene heating systems must meet requirements of all applicable fire codes. Okay. And then, okay, there's electric. So electrical service. Each dwelling shall be provided with sufficient outlets and built-in fixtures to provide adequate lighting. I don't know what adequate actually means, and flexibility of use and location of electrical appliances and equipment. So that's pretty vague.
Yeah, that's pretty vague.
The complete installation shall be safe, efficient, and economical in operation. That's pretty vague again, and shall provide a reasonable uniform distribution of lighting. So they don't, I don't think they actually want to commit to anything. They just want to do it on a case-by-case inspection basis.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing is circuit protection shall be provided such that operation of circuit breakers or replacement of fuses does not expose the occupant to electrical connections. I think that's pretty standard with all modern electrical systems. Right. AC washer and dryer will be individually wired to the circuit panel. Capacity will be sufficient so that the AC washer and dryer may operate simultaneously without overloading the circuits. And that's it on electric, I think.
That sounds all pretty basic.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the only big things that I've noticed were the width AC. Of the doors that have to actually allow, because if you want to reinstall a door, that could be a bit painful.
Yeah.
And the need for an extra exit beyond the main exit from the property. So there has to be something like a fire escape or a back door or something of that sort. If you're looking at buildings in Japan, a lot of time, depending on how new the building is, there's going to be the balcony is going to have a shoot through fire ladder that goes in between all of the balconies in the building.
Yeah.
That probably satisfies that.
Okay.
And then the other thing is that you need to work with a registered approved property management agency. So whichever base you're going to be looking next to, you need to first contact the housing office and see who the property management companies that work that base are, that are authorized by the base. And then I guess a lot of the detective work they can already do for you because they've done it on quite a few occasions. So once you liaise with them, they'll be able to tell you, you can submit potential properties to them and they'll tell you, well, this one will qualify, this one's not going to pass inspection, this one's going to need this and that done.
And so, right. I wonder if they had a list of properties that are not allowed. I know that there's some that people are banned from renting from. And maybe provide a reason why, or have pictures even. But I know that Camp Fuji doesn't have any of that.
Yeah, I think you're asking a bit too much of them. It'd be nice if you do, but yeah.
Yeah, they definitely won't.
And also the other thing is, and I haven't gotten a reply to that one from anyone that's contacted us about this before, is those property management agencies are obviously equipped to handle foreign tenants. So they've got somebody who can speak to the tenants and do the contract and the lease in English. But right. I don't know that they're equipped to handle foreign landlords.
Okay.
So whoever signs the contract between the landlord and the property management company, whoever explains things to the landlord before they sign the contract, I don't know if they have that because I don't think they've had too many foreign landlords. They usually get Japanese landlords that are renting to base personnel.
Right.
So the first step, I think, would be to contact those agencies around that base that you're considering and check with them whether they can work with you as a landlord.
Yeah, right.
And if they can't, then that's a bit of an uphill battle. So you'll have to talk to the housing office again.
Right.
Say, well, look, you gave me these agencies, but they don't want to work with me as a landlord because I'm not Japanese. And what can I...
And needing an agency is usually a necessity.
The housing office only allows the personnel to rent from one of the authorized agencies that they've put on their list. So, yes.
Right. Right. Camp Fuji doesn't have a housing agency, so how my parents rented a home is they found someone, they just asked around the base and then people gave recommendations.
Yeah. So in your case, like we spoke about last time, that's a new base, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So in your case, you probably got a good few years to sort of get away with stuff.
Yeah.
Actually, it would be a really good idea. I don't know if you or your boyfriend or anyone just set up your own agency, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So setting up a business, how comfortable are you talking about that? Do you know the reins? Okay. So you're technically an agency, and you work with agencies?
No, we work with agencies, but we're not an agency. Okay. So we don't have a real estate license, and we like to keep it that way because that means that we can tell the agents that we work with that they don't need to share their commission with us.
Okay.
If we were a registered agent, then any sales commission that they would be getting from our buyer side, they would have to then share 50-50 with us. That's how the law works in Japan, or they would be keeping the seller commission and we would be taking the buyer commission. So the first thing we tell them when we contact a new agency is we're representing the buyer. We're not a real estate agency. You can keep your entire commission. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can set up a company, like in your case, for example, you'd be able to set up a property management company. And when you do need a lease done, which is the part that actually requires a licensed person involved, you just hire somebody. So it's called the Taken. It's like a real estate official document reader or explainer.
Right.
And that's the actual licensed component of a real estate agency.
Okay.
But a lot of the companies that we work with, they are agents, but they don't actually have somebody on full-time staff. They just hire them whenever they need a lease done or a contract done.
Right. So how many agencies do you work with your company?
Oh, wow.
Quite a few.
Quite a few. There are a few big ones that we repeatedly work with who are national. So they'd have an office in Osaka, office in Tokyo, office in Fukuoka, and so forth. Mm. But then if we can't find what the customer is looking for from one of the agencies that we already work with, then we'll just go off the listings online and then we'll contact new agents. So every month we do at least one deal with a new agent that we've never worked with before. So quite a few. Okay.
Are there any red flags of agencies that you stay away from working with?
There's not really that many really bad apples in Japan. Like, you're very rare that you come across an actual dodgy one that, you know, might be doing something bordering on illegal. We have run across a few, but I guess because in Japan it's quite rare, so us as Westerners kind of pick up immediately on the vibe. Like, they're not really well practiced at being shonky, kind of thing.
Right.
So the way that they speak is just weird. And we just say, okay, don't worry. Like, they might say, everything that I've just told you about the property, I prefer not to put down in an email because emails can lead to mistakes. I prefer to talk on the phone about everything. So yeah, okay, let's maybe not work with you.
Okay.
But it's pretty rare. There's also reviews of them online. So if they're a big enough agency, there's going to be at least a few reviews.
Right.
And some of the reviews are actually, might be bad from a tenant perspective, but might be good from a landlord. Like, for example, if a tenant complains that the property manager charged them for every little hole in the wall, then, you know, yeah, the tenant might be really pissed off. But as a landlord, I want to work with that property manager, right?
Right, right.
So you kind of take the reviews with a grain of salt and try to see what exactly people are complaining about, if they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, not really huge red flags. There's no, it's very rare to actually run across a criminal operation or anything like that.
Right. So you, property managers that you contact, what do you go to them for? To find properties for people to buy? Or
so
find...
property managers are the people who actually manage the tenants.
Right.
So you do the purchase or sale via a realtor, a property agent or a broker. And they handle the sale. Well, they together with the legal, with the property lawyer, or in Japan, they're called judicial scrivener. So they handle the purchases and the sales. And then because we don't, as landlords, we don't, or as representatives of landlords, we don't want to be handling tenants directly. So we don't want to be receiving calls from a tenant when something breaks, or when they, you know, chasing them up when they delayed with the rent. So then we then hire property managers to handle the existing tenants, if there is a tenant already in the property. And also if and when a property becomes vacant, to then find a new tenant and place them.
Okay.
So it's two different types of agencies. Sometimes they do both on under the same roof, but usually they're separate.
Okay. I think if I and or Chris were to create a business entity, property management style,
yeah,
it would kind of have to be both when dealing with the military population.
Well, why would you need to handle the purchase and the sale, though? You can just bring in an agent to handle that.
That's true.
I mean, any agent in Japan can sell you a property in any location. Your challenge is going to be in dealing with the, handling with the tenants, right? Like that's right. Your niche. You're handling specific kinds of tenants in a specific language that's pretty rare in Japan. And you're also going to be able to serve landlords who are foreigners themselves, right? So if you got somebody around the base who wants to buy a property or owns a property and wants to rent it to foreigners, then you can help them as well, even if it's not your property.
Right.
So I don't think you actually need to be handling purchases and sales yourselves. But if you've got a leg into the housing office by being one of their first or only referral property management agency, then all the tenants would come to you when they're looking for places, right?
Right. And I kind of did that a little bit when I was working. A few of my coworkers have an extra property that they wanted to rent out. So they would come to either me or my dad to disseminate the information that they have an extra property. And then, so I created a Facebook group, but it's kind of empty now.
So you mean foreigners who already own properties that they want to rent out to other people?
Foreigners and Japanese, but Japanese that speak English and work on the base.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you get many actual foreign landlords, people who are in Japan on like a sofa arrangement or anything of that sort, or were they all kind of residents?
Two of them were sofa status. They bought a house around the area and then they rented it out to another family that's living here.
So I would be really interested in interviewing one of these guys on our podcast, if you don't mind, because
yeah,
I've yet to run across a gaijin who's doing that in Japan, and I'd love to talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to ask my dad.
Really useful information to people who are looking to get into that sort of business.
Right. Okay. Put some stars next to this.
So they were doing this in your area, near the camp that you're at, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So that's probably the only one of the only places in Japan where that's actually happened, just because it hasn't been actually like
Because there's no
clearly
housing out
defined, and yeah, no housing
there.
office. So that's really interesting.
I'm surprised that this is the first time you're hearing it. Is it
I was
because there
surprised that no one's doing it yet too, but I've yet to find them.
Yeah. Because like I want to do it. And I was thinking of buying something, a piece of property in Gotemba before the year ends, but I still have some due diligence to
Yeah.
do.
Well, I mean, we've been in the last, especially in the last 2 years, I think we must have heard from at least 10 or 12 people who are looking and interested in doing that.
Yeah.
But I don't know that any of them have pulled the trigger yet. So that's why
Huh.
I'm really curious to talk to these guys.
Right. I'll search too, because I'm not sure where the people are. I know that their house is being rented.
I have spoken to one, like you say, a Japanese lady. I don't think she works on the base, but she works for Apple, so her English is like super fluent. And she's
Yeah.
been doing that for years, for like
Wow.
10 or 15 years or so.
Wow.
And so she was a really good source of info. But yeah, I've yet to speak to an actual gaijin doing it. So.
Actual gun. So what are your plans for the rest of the
My plans are to publish another podcast episode and YouTube video. Now we're recording a weekly, like a Japan real estate experts panel, and that's put a huge backlog on the other stuff that I wanted to publish. So I need to get some of that. So I'm probably going to go up to twice a week now. It's been once a week for the last few years, but now we'll go up to twice a week. And after that, I shall go home and continue to work. As is
Nice.
usually the case, yeah.
Would you consider yourself a workaholic?
I don't know. Like, I don't stress about it. That's kind of the definition of a workaholic, is that you need to be stressed if you're not working,
True.
right? Like, I don't stress about it. I like my job.
That's
But
great.
I do work a lot, yeah. It doesn't feel like it, because like I'll take a couple of hours off when I want to do something, or be with my son or cook dinner or what. But then I'll
Yeah.
still be on the bed sending emails until like midnight. So, yeah.
Well, as long as it doesn't stress you out, I feel like then you're out of the definition then.
Yeah. I don't feel like a workaholic now.
I'd like to feel like that. I sometimes feel like that when I'm creating content or when I'm talking with people with lots of good information like you. Yeah.
I saw one of your videos on your Instagram where you were complaining about your boyfriend going off to do the work that he loves, and you just stay home all day. Is that still the
Yep. I
case?
mean, I go out and I met with a friend and we were talking about long-term investing and how she can open up a NISA. So that was really fun. That was like the first time I actually got paid to talk about just the stuff that I researched.
Yeah.
And doing more work like that has been increasing. So, yes, I stay at home all day and I'm doing work on my computer, but I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'll
So,
send him an
do
email.
you have any specific questions that I can answer for you today, or good for now?
No,
Yeah.
I'm good. Yeah. Thank you so
Awesome.
much for your time.
Pleasure. Good speaking with you.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll
Thank
have
you.
questions throughout the week, though. You're
Don't
always so good
worry.
at responding.
Anytime.
Yep. Have a
Bye.
good
Speak to you
day.
soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right, there we go. The lovely Haley Agra. I really enjoy speaking with her. Hope you're enjoying our chats as well. Huge thanks again to everyone who joined last week's event, and I hope to see you all with us in Tokyo for the next one in the series. More on that as it starts to take shape and form, hopefully over the next month or two. Now, before we go, we're also, as always, going to tell you and also link to our other sponsor's website. That's Hiroshi Shimizu, immigration lawyer and administrative scrivener. If you're thinking about moving here on a more permanent basis, or you're already in Japan on some sort of a temporary visa and you want to switch to a longer term or permanent one, or if you're considering setting up a local company or a branch office of a foreign company and you've got any sort of business or visa-related inquiries, or even if you just want to find out what your options are on any of these topics, Feel free to contact Hiroshi Shimizu. You can find him at japanimmigrationexperts.com, and he can help you set up a company, apply for any kind of visa, or just provide you with the best advice and extremely affordable consultation related to these topics. And he's already done that for many of our listeners. So feel free to reach out to him. Again, that's japanimmigrationexperts.com, and you'll be well on your way. And that's it from us for today, folks. Hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Japan Real Estate Podcast. Do share it with your networks, and please let us know what you think. So leave us a short rating or review on the iTunes Store, on Spotify, or just drop us a line in the comment section of wherever you might have found this episode. We love hearing from you. Hope to have you with us again next time, and until then, have a great day or night ahead. Yoroshiku.